There you go. Romans 13, 8 through 14. That might be just a little hot. I'm not sure. Owe no man anything but to love one another. For he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law. For this, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, thou shalt not covet, and if there be any other commandment, it is briefly comprehended in this saying, namely, that thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Love worketh no ill to his neighbor, therefore love is the fulfilling of the law. And that knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly, as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envy, but put you on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lusts or the desires thereof. Let's remain standing. I trust the Lord will use this portion to have your heart prepared for what we intend to look at. Shall we pray again? Thank you, Father, for once again the chance to just bring our service before you. We thank you for the truth that's here. We ask, Lord, that you would give enablement to proclaim the word in a manner fitting and honoring to you. We ask your Holy Spirit, fill me, that you might so lead me in what I say or what I don't say, that it would be all of you and not of this servant. And I pray, Lord, for each of our hearts, that we would be attentive. We would make it a point to clear our minds from those things which might distract us, perhaps even clear our hands from those things which might distract us. And may we focus on you. We thank you for this. We look forward to what you have. In your name I pray, amen. And you may be seated. Two weeks ago, we looked at the first seven verses of this particular chapter, and Paul spelled out some very important truth regarding an individual having the right understanding and response to governing authorities. As we move on in this particular 13th chapter, Paul changed the subject, really bringing timely words to the attention of his readers in two specific areas. In verses 8 through 10, we see he talks about an unpayable debt. And in verses 11 through 14, he makes reference to an undeniable truth. So having said that, let's turn to that first section, 8 through 10, and let's see, to begin, that unpayable debt. And we see, A, it is stated in verse 8, when he says, owe no man anything but to love one another. For he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law. That just kind of seems strange. In the context of this particular chapter, you recall that back in verses 6 And seven he had made mention of in relation to our proper relationship to authorities. He had said in verse 6, pay tribute also, or the taxes. They're God's ministers attending continually upon this very thing. Don't be one of those that refuses to pay your taxes. In verse 7, he said, render therefore to all their dues, tribute to whom tribute is due, custom to whom custom. And some of these words have reference still to the area of fines, fees, taxes, whatever. And he said, you give it to them. Along with monetary things, he closed that up by saying, make sure you also give to them fear to whom fear is due, and you give honor to whom honor is due. Having said that, then he moves on and he says, owe no man anything. And though it's a new topic, he's carrying on that same theme as far, just like we have to owe the government taxes when April the 15th comes around. It is our responsibility as a citizen of this country that we make sure that our taxes have been paid. And that is expected of us. And in that same context, he says, owe no man anything but to love one another. If you're going to have any debts, Christian, he said, here is a debt that you're never going to be able to fully pay. If you're going to owe someone something, you owe them your love. You owe them your love. And we find here that as he makes reference to this, truth is, no one will ever be paid up on this one. Perhaps some are thinking, you know what? I have given myself. I have loved this one. What more could they want from me? What more do I owe them? Your love. You owe them your love. And Paul says, you owe no man anything except you realize that they always are deserving of your love. How different this instruction is in comparison to the world in which we live, and John spoke of it this morning in our Sunday school hour, the world which is motivated by what? Pride, where we find in a world dominated by pride, the thought is self. Not others. We're taught to take care of yourself. Don't worry about others. You have a right to do this for yourself. Is that what we find in Scripture? Yet that's the philosophy of the world in which we live. And Paul teaches us here, as far as this unpayable debt, he said, I want you to realize that as you go about your life as a believer, he said, here is something that you always owe others. You owe them your love. You owe them your love. William R. Newell made reference to love as the active principle of Christianity. Love is the active principle of Christianity. As we look at what this says here in Romans 13, he says, he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law. That is exactly what the law was trying to bring individuals to see and realize. You say, I don't know that I believe that. Well, would you believe maybe that Paul was a little mistaken on that. Okay, then how about let's see what our Lord said about that. In Matthew chapter 22, verse 34 through 40, it says, when the Pharisees had heard that he had put the Sadducees to silence, they were gathered together. Then one of them, which was a lawyer, well, boy, if anybody understood the law, a lawyer would, right? This lawyer asked him a question, and he was doing this to test the Lord. King James says tempting, but he was really trying to trip the Lord up. He was trying to throw him a curve. That's what this means. So he was testing or tempting him and saying, Master, which is the great commandment in the law? Jesus said unto him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. This is the first and great or most important commandment. And then the Lord continued on by saying, and the second is just like it. The second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. And then the Lord said, on these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. You do these, you have fulfilled what the law was requiring of any. You love the Lord God with all your heart, soul, and mind. That's the first one. And you love your neighbor as yourself. That one is just as important. So that's what Paul means when he says here in verse 8 that he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law. How thankful I am that Paul mentions this, because there may be some that would say, oh, he's just, you know, it sounds like he's kind of getting into that social gospel stuff here. You know, you just be loving and chummy with everybody. No, we're not talking about just what the world calls love. We're talking about the love of Christ toward one another. Paul not only said it here in Romans, but he said it again in the book of Galatians chapter 5, verses 13 and 14. If you could turn to that. He says, for brethren, you have been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Let that soak in a little bit. How many think that is an easy thing to do? John talked about it in Proverbs. It's not easy because who do we normally look out for? Ourself. But here Paul is teaching us in this 13th chapter. He calls to our attention this unpayable debt. And he has stated it here in this 8th verse. That's why Newell called love, Christian love, the active principle of Christianity. That is the thing that is to be motivating us in everything we do, toward God, toward others. But sadly, how seldom is genuine Christian love demonstrated and shown to others. Self just keeps getting in the way. My feelings just keep getting hurt. Why do my feelings get hurt? Because who am I thinking of? I'm thinking of myself. And we find here, Paul states the importance of this unpayable debt. Let's ask ourselves a question or two. How is this love that Paul is talking about demonstrated? How is it demonstrated? The answer to that is in 1 Corinthians 13. And we begin at verse 4. 1 Corinthians 13, 4. Ask the average man on the street, well, define love. Oh, it's this butterflies that I get when I see him or her, or when we hold hands, and oh, he sends me flowers, or whatever. That is so surface. How is love demonstrated? Let's look, beginning at verse 4, as Paul answers, and in the Old King James, it uses the word charity. The New King James, it uses the word love. That's what we're talking about. Not the handouts, you know, you donate to charity. No, we're talking about love. And he says, here we go. Love suffers long. Suffers long. What's that mean? Well, it doesn't push itself forward. It does not get all upset. Things don't always have to be done your way. It suffers long, it's kind. Well, that's an easy thing, isn't it? Well, how come so many times? Last week we celebrated our 50th anniversary. How many times in those 50 years did I have to ask my wife's forgiveness because my words were not kind to her? It envies not. What's envy? You've got something. You don't deserve it. I ought to have that. And it just begins to stew and fester and boil. Not love. Love won't do that. Love just says, oh, I'm so glad he or she has that. I'm so glad he or she was given that honor, that recognition. That's not natural, is it? Why? Because I should have had that recognition. It envies not. What else? It does not vaunt itself. It does not always need to be in the forefront. Hey, look at me. Look what I've done. Look how important I am. It is not puffed up. He goes on, he says, it does not behave itself unseemly or in an improper way. Or I think here does not behave itself unseemly, pouting about something. Seeketh not her own. Love, genuine love, is not easily provoked. That's a tough one for some of us, isn't it? We wear our feelings on our sleeves, and boy, don't you wrinkle them. Is not easily, it takes a lot to get that one provoked. Is that true of you and me? Love will demonstrate itself, takes an awful lot to really upset me. We go on, thinks no evil. Thinks no evil. I like what my Bible put as a little definition of that on thinketh no evil. Is not ready to suspect evil concerning what's going on with that other person. Is not ready to suspect evil. Thinks no evil. As something goes on, that was on my mind all the time. Or is it, I would have never thought that. Because you love. And you're demonstrating love to another person. We see here, love does not rejoice in iniquity. There's no joy when sin is involved if there is genuine love toward another one. What brings joy, happiness, truth? You see, genuine love has a heavy heart when sin is involved, but when there is truth and honesty, and that's what brings real joy, not, you know, I'm so glad this has happened to you. You deserve that. No, doesn't rejoice in iniquity. And we find in 7, beareth all things. Beareth all things. Genuine love isn't going to be complaining all the time about what this person does or doesn't do. They're just going to keep their mouth shut and bear it in love. I love that one. And yeah, I'm not perfect. Why should I expect her to be perfect? Why should I get all bent out of shape? I just will pray for her. Beareth all things. Rather than let me point out how you have failed me and where you have gone wrong. Love bears all things. It believes all things. It believes all things. What's this? I think in a relationship between a couple of individuals, let's use husband and wife. Do you believe what the other one tells you? Or are you always suspicious? Do you find yourself, I wish I could believe, but you know, I just never know when they're telling me that genuine love is, I love this one. And that one told me this, and so I'm going to believe it. I'm not going to hold them at arm's length because I can't believe you on this. No, if that's what one has said, then that's what needs to be demonstrated. You've said that to me, and I'm going to believe you. Believeth all things. Hopeth all things. Never loses hope. Never loses hope. I think about the subject of divorce. And it seems as though in our day and age, divorce is epidemic. And you see individuals that you think, well, they're so much in love. So they've got so much going for them, and so many times you see them breaking it off. Why? No hope. Our marriage was hopeless. Is there a hopeless marriage in the Lord? Is there a hopeless marriage if we both are looking to the Lord? No. And love is going to do what? It's going to hope all things, and it's not going to say, I've had it, I just want to move on to greener pastures. It's no. God can do a mighty work here. Let's work on it. Endureth all things. Endureth all things. How much am I supposed to endure? Don't you think I've endured enough? What's the Bible say? Have you endured all things yet? If you haven't, keep loving, because that's what love does. Love never fails. Verse 8. Love never fails. What a summary of that list, that eighth verse. That's the summary. That is the surrounding perimeter of the thing that brings it all together. Bottom line is, love never fails. Now, let's go back to our text, and we find that Paul was using this word as, here's a debt you're never going to be able to pay. Owe no man anything except realize that you always owe him or her your love. How's it demonstrated? 1 Corinthians chapter 18, the patience, the kindness, the belief, the not suspecting them of evil, and so on. And that will fulfill everything that the law ever demanded of those people. That was one question. How is this love demonstrated? Here's another one. And that is, what is the source of this love? Do you go to seminars to learn how to genuinely love one another? Do you read books on how to love one another? That's what the world's people do. You go for counseling. I know I need to love more. What's the latest book, from on the top 20 book list here? Where can I get this? What is its source? There's a simple answer for it for the believer in Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 and 23. Galatians 5, 22 and 23. Notice what it says. But the fruit of the Spirit is, what's the first word? Love. Genuine love. Fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. The whole key word here is the word fruit. The fruit of the Spirit. What do you mean, Pastor? What I mean is, this is what the Holy Spirit, who indwells every true believer, wants to and will produce in the life of the believer who is yielded to his leading, who is walking in the light as the Lord is in the light, who is not harboring any unconfessed sin. And when the believer says, "Oh Lord, I need your help. I cannot be one who loves my neighbor as myself, but you can love my neighbor as myself as you work your power in me and through me." There is the source. The source of this love that deals with the debt that we can never pay. You and I don't have the capacity to produce that in ourselves. That's what we need to understand here. As we turn to these words here in Romans chapter 13, we need to understand that Paul is not just saying, okay, here's something that you can do on your own if you just work at it. We can't. We're too self-centered. But the Holy Spirit, who indwells genuine believers, can produce that love. It's like fruit. What fruit is something that is what? Produced by another. And as we're coming into the garden season, you plant plants and you go out in your garden weeks later, and what do? You pick the fruit. Did you produce it? Those nice tomato plants that and those nice red, juicy tomatoes. We can tend to it, but the truth is, that is the produce of the plant. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, and so on is the produce of the Holy Spirit. Well, this means, therefore, that as we think about this unpayable debt, it requires the operation of the Spirit in order to see the demonstration of this in our life. It requires the operation of the Spirit within us to see the demonstration of this produced outwardly. We cannot produce this. May the Lord help us to remember that we are always indebted to others. We are always indebted to demonstrate genuine love toward them through the power of the Holy Spirit. You know what a good signal is to know, boy, may the Lord help us to remember. That was what I suggested there. Next time you're engaged with an individual and you're having a conversation or this, that, and the other thing, and you begin to sense something is going wrong and something is not, it's bugging you, it's bothering you, why don't you just say, "Lord, help me at that point to recognize that I'm not moving in the direction of loving this person. I'm moving in the direction of feeding myself and my own desires. Lord, thank you for the signal I'm getting. I'm starting to lose my temper. I can feel the blood coming up. We're not moving in the direction of loving. Lord, help me to realize when it's happening that is the moment I need to silently say, Lord, I'm going to blow this if I continue in this direction. Oh, Lord, forgive me. Will you produce the love toward this person that 2 minutes ago I wanted to tell them what for and chew them out and give them a piece of my mind? That's not Christ-like. Oh, Lord, I'm going to blow it. Help me. Forgive me. Maybe you could tell the Lord that. Lord, help me to recognize the signals in the days to come. Help me not just to go on blindly in the direction that comes so naturally with self. Lord, slow me down just enough to realize that now is a good time for me to say, Lord, I can't do this on my own, but I want to glorify you. Give me the right attitude toward this person. Give me the right word. Give me the right actions right now, Lord, because I'm facing an opportunity where I could be showing love to this person, and there's anything but love right now. I believe that if you would get along with the Lord and say, Lord, I really do want to recognize your signal. I want to recognize that still small voice. I don't want to just keep going like a bull in a china cupboard that is, I'm just going to blow it. I'm going to pop my cork. I'm going to be saying things that it's going to cause nothing but hurts and heartaches. This person deserves my love. I believe the Lord would help each and every one of us. So what did Paul mean by that last phrase there in verse 8? He that loveth hath fulfilled the law. He stated that, but here in verse 9, he specifies it. He spells it out. And Paul lists in verse 9 several specific laws from the commands that were given to the children of Israel in the Old Testament and reiterated by our Lord in the New Testament. And what does he see here in verse 9? For that, thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, thou shalt not covet. And if there is any other commandment that I didn't list here, what he's saying is, the truth is, it's all comprehended in this one thing. What is it? Love your neighbor as yourself. What Paul is saying here is this: genuine Christian love will fulfill what the law demanded and commanded. Where there is love for your neighbor, adultery doesn't enter into the picture. You're not gonna commit adultery if you're genuinely loving your neighbor. You wouldn't do that. Where there is genuine love, you wouldn't murder, you wouldn't kill someone. You wouldn't steal if you genuinely loved. You wouldn't tell lies, bearing false witness, slamming their character and their integrity. No, love will keep one from doing these things. That's why he says, it's all summed up in, you know, if we would just love our neighbor as we love ourselves, we wouldn't think of doing any of these things. And then we find that these truths are summarized, see, in verses 8 and 10. We'll look at verse 8 again. He that loveth another hath fulfilled the law. What's verse 10 say? Love works no ill or evil to his neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling, love fulfilled the law. The summary thoughts in Matthew chapter 7, in that Sermon on the Mount, the Lord said in verse 12, therefore, all things whatsoever you would that men should do unto you, do ye even so to them. We modernize it by saying what? Do unto others as what? You would have them do unto you. If we would do that, he says, this is the law and the prophets. That's exactly what the law was trying to get, and that was what the message of the prophet. Just do unto others as you would have them do unto you. Okay, I'm gonna go home and I'm gonna do that. Remember what we said earlier? You can't, I can't, on our own. But if you know the Lord as your own personal Savior, the possibility of that indwells you in the person of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit can enable you to do unto others as you would have them do unto you. Well, suppose I do it unto them, but they don't do it back to me. That's their problem. That's not yours or mine. We're not responsible for other people's actions. We're responsible for our own, aren't we? And so we see in these verses that we looked at this morning, a debt that we never can pay. Don't worry, those of you that remember, I gave you 2 points. Our time is gone. And if you would like to hear, well, what was the second point? What's the undeniable truth? Come back next Sunday. That be okay? That sound like a fair deal? That'd be better than me taking the next 45 minutes and moving on into that next realm. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. We don't want that, do we? Let's look to the Lord in prayer. Father, we do want to thank you for the challenge this morning. Perhaps at first thought we think, well, that's not hard to do. I want to be kind. I want to be helpful. I want to be loving to those around me. And everything goes all right until somebody crosses us, until somebody lets us down, somebody fails us, somebody says something that we don't like, and all of a sudden we're not so loving anymore. We're on the march and we're going to make sure they understand how much you didn't appreciate it, how much we were offended, and so many times you did it to me and I'm going to do it back to you. Oh Lord, how good it would be if we loved others like we love ourselves. If they return that same thing, that'd be great. But if they don't, that doesn't matter. Help us to take this to heart. Help us to apply the truth. And Lord, for your glory and honor, I pray that there might be a demonstration of genuine Christian love in the lives of each and every one that truly knows you as their own personal Savior. For your glory and honor, we pray. Amen.